My dear beloved in Christ, I'd just like to close up about the church teaching about the Holy Eucharist. But first, St. Pius X recommended frequent Holy Communion, but he said Holy Communion should be preceded by serious preparation and followed by suitable thanksgiving. So that's why after Mass we try to spend about 15 minutes in silent prayer. It's obvious that if you're in the state of mortal sin, confession is required. But before and after communion, it's very important to have a spirit of prayer, humility, recollection, and union with Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, the doctrine of transubstantiation can be proved from history. Since Jesus Christ had so clearly expressed this doctrine, all Christians, even those who fell away into heresy on other points or were separated from the Catholic Church through schism, believed in the real presence down through the centuries. It was not until the 16th century, nearly 1,500 years after Christ, that there was any widespread denial of this teaching. Even the sects that had broken away from the Catholic Church ever since the first centuries, the Gnostics, Nestorians, Eutychians, Armenians and Jacobites, have retained the Catholic belief of the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. In addition, the Orthodox Church, which began separating from the Catholic Church in the 11th century, have always professed their faith in the real presence. Some of the most ancient liturgies express belief in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and transubstantiation. In other words, the change of the substance of the bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. The Greek liturgy of Alexandria thus prays the Lord that thy grace may change these offerings into the body and blood of our Savior. The Gothic Missal, also called the Old Gallican, says in the Mass of Epiphany, may he who this day changed water into wine now change the wine here offered into his own blood. The Roman liturgy has consecrated these expressions, which oblation do thou, O God, vouchsafe in all respects, to bless, approve, ratify, and accept, that it be made for us the body and blood of thy most beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's just before the consecration. It's in your prayer book. The agreement of the liturgies of all ages and places proves that this kind of prayer is of apostolic institution. It came from Christ and has been passed down through the apostles. Thus, the Protestant Grotius expresses himself. My dearly beloved in Christ, the early fathers of the church professed their belief in the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. St. Ignatius of Antioch, who died in the year 117, said the Eucharist is the flesh of our Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Justin the Martyr, who died in 167, said, we take this not as ordinary bread or as ordinary drink. As Jesus Christ, our Savior, had flesh and blood for the sake of our salvation, so have we been taught that also the food consecrated by the word of prayer coming from him is the flesh and blood of that Jesus who was made flesh. St. Irenaeus, who died in 203, said, wine and bread are by the word of God changed into the Eucharist, which is the body and blood of Christ. I mean, it's very clear. St. Hippolytus of Rome, he died in 235, said, he hath given us his own divine flesh and his own precious blood to eat and to drink. Later evidence of this kind is abundant. Even the symbols and illustrations found in the catacombs, in other words, those are the underground chambers, passageways in and around the city of Rome, have substantiated the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. In one of the oldest chambers of the catacomb of St. Lucina, a fish symbolizing Christ is representing on its back a basket of bread and a cup of red wine. As one of the commentators explains, what appears on the surface of the water is bread and wine. What sustains this appearance beneath the surface is the living Christ. This beautiful illustration of the real presence dates from the early years of the second century. Another in San Callisto, later by 100 years, shows a table on which are laid a fish and a piece of bread. On the left, a figure representing Christ or a priest who is consecrating the bread. On the right, a woman with outstretched arms in adoration or returning thanks. For nearly 1,000 years, belief in our Lord's real presence in the Holy Eucharist was unopposed. Berengarius, who died in 1088 AD, was the first to openly reject the doctrine of transubstantiation. He taught that our Lord's words, "This is my body," were merely symbolic. He saw in the Eucharist merely a figure of the body and blood of Christ, transfigured in heaven. The words of Christ, "This is my body," are, according to Berengarius, to be taken in a metaphorical sense, just as the phrase, "Christ is the cornerstone." An interesting point to note here is that in the ancient Aramaic, as well as in the modern Arabic, the words, "eat my flesh and drink my blood," can be used metaphorically. However, when interpreted in that way, this Semitic idiom means that a person ridicules, reviles, and persecutes another. Thus, if the words of Christ regarding the necessity of eating his flesh and drinking his blood were taken figuratively, their meaning would be absurd, for this would denote that unless a person persecutes, mocks, and reviles Jesus, he cannot have eternal life. Thus, it's totally illogical to claim that Christ meant these words metaphorically. Eventually, at the Roman Lenten Synod in 1079, Berengarius renounced his heresy, made a profession of faith in which he clearly affirmed his belief in transubstantiation and the real presence. He died repentant. Even Martin Luther, for some time after his departure from the Catholic Church in 1517, accepted the Church's traditional teaching regarding the real presence. Writing in 1532 to Albert, Duke of Prussia, he said, "This article," in other words, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, "has been believed and acknowledged by common consent from the beginning of the Christian Church to our days. This is proved by the writings of the Fathers, both Greek and Latin. The testimony given by the Holy Church alone ought alone to be sufficient to make us accept the obvious meaning of the words of Jesus Christ, and to reject the wild interpretations of the sectaries, for it's dangerous, it is fearful to listen to and to believe a voice which contradicts the unanimous testimony and belief of Christendom, the doctrine uniformly held during 15 centuries. To raise doubts on this subject," this is Luther saying this, "would be to condemn as heretics the Church and Christ himself with his apostles and prophets. Besides, the divisions which break out among the sectaries, who separate into as many sects as there are different interpretations of the same text, are strong enough proof of their unreasonableness." In an address to the Reformed at Strasbourg, Luther stated that the doctrine of the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist seemed to him so well established in Holy Scripture as to be unassailable. It's for this reason that when Luther's former teacher, Karlstadt, denied the sacrament of the Eucharist, Luther's only answer was to treat him as an assassin of souls and to have him banished. Luther later contradicted his own earlier beliefs regarding the Eucharist and the Mass. He writes of an incident in which Satan appeared to him late one night. After debating with the devil, Luther finally yielded to the evil spirit's arguments and therefore radically changed his previous belief. We might ask ourselves, how is our... I'll close with a final thought. A pious painter named Leonardo one day met in an inn two men, one of whom was a Lutheran and the other a Calvinist. They were ridiculing the Catholic doctrine about the Holy Eucharist. The Calvinist stated that by these words, "This is my body," it was only meant that the bread signifies the body of Christ. The Lutheran, on the other hand, asserted that this was not true, that they meant that the bread and wine in the moment of their reception became by faith of the recipient the body and blood of Jesus. While this dispute was going on, Leonardo took a piece of paper and drew an image of our Lord Jesus Christ with Luther on the right hand and Calvin on the left. Under the image of our Savior, he wrote the words, "This is my body." Under the figure of Calvin, he wrote, "This signifies my body." And under that of Luther, "This becomes my body in the moment that you eat it." Then handing the paper to the two disputants, he said, "Which of these three is right? Our Savior, Calvin, or Luther?" They were struck at the force of the argument and ceased to scoff at this Catholic doctrine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.